please listen carefully.
Hello and welcome to the Optus Daily's Weekly Roundup. I'm Carissa.
And I'm Ariel. And we're working hard to put solutions in view and optimism in movement.
Hello again. We're back with more solutions from the Optimist Daily this week. Ariel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm just, you know, kind of looking forward to the weekend. And yeah, nothing really crazy happened for me this week. But you celebrated your birthday, so.
I did. I did celebrate another trip around the sun this week. So that was kind of fun. It's been like a week long of different celebrations and working, but last weekend I ended up going to the Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo. It's an iconic landmark. It's very pink and old and super cute. I'd been wanting to stay there, and so that was so fun to finally kind of check off from my bucket list. And but yeah, it's been, and then the time changed too last weekend, and so our first week over here in the States with the time change, which is very nice to have that extra hour of sunlight, which I've been talking about a lot recently that I really wanted.
Nice. Yeah, we still have to wait a week, I think, in Europe. So yeah, all of our meetings are a little bit shifted for me. Yeah. But, you know, that's what we get with an international team.
Exactly. I guess, yeah, once the time changes for you, you'll kind of go back to our normal program. So.
But, yeah, I have a question for you, actually, Carissa. Did you play any team sports when you were little?
I did do quite a few team sports. I did when I was younger. I did cheerleading, so that was pretty fun. And then I also did swim and water polo when I was a little bit older, like in my youth. And then through high school, I did that. So yeah, a couple team sports. Did you, Ariel?
No, I was completely not athletic, or maybe that was just the narrative that I told myself. I was way more into books and being a bit of a nerd. The closest that I ever got to being in a team sport, which is going to make me sound even nerdier, was playing the tuba in my concert band.
Well, that has to be, the tubas are really heavy, and so yeah. I think that has to be quite a workout.
I mean, yeah, there was some athleticism to it, especially because I started when I was 11 and I was like quite a short kid already, so the case was bigger than me. But yeah, that's the closest that I got, I think, to like a collaborative effort and a joint goal, and you're kind of like working in tandem. Well, I don't know. I would keep my eye on the conductor and also be paying attention to what all the other sections in the band were doing so that I could be in time, but I don't really think that counts.
I think it counts a little bit, but why do you ask, Ariel?
Well, my story, the story that I'm picking, delves into, you know, the profound impact of team sports on specifically young girls' confidence. And I don't have any personal experience in this at all. So that's probably why it piqued my interest, because, you know, I wasn't willing to try out for any team sports because I thought that the pressure was just so high. I would just get anxious about messing up and carrying the blame of like a whole loss for the whole team on my little shoulders. And, you know, I just never thought that I was coordinated enough, I guess, or athletic enough, because I really wasn't. But maybe, you know, that kind of attitude was also perpetuated by me not giving it a go and trying out for a team sport, because both my younger sisters did. They played volleyball.
Yeah.
I think my middle sister played soccer. And I do characterize them as really confident young women, and I admire them for that. And I guess my confidence came a little bit later, because I don't think I'm not confident or anything, or that I don't have any self-esteem. But reading this article made me realize that maybe my experience would have been a little bit different. It was a really interesting article, so I'm excited to share it with you guys.
Yeah, I'm really interested in hearing more about it.
Well, the title of the article is Going for the Goal: The Impact of Team Sports on Boosting Young Girls' Confidence. And the article begins with some compelling data from the Here for Every Goal report, which if you click on the link in the article, will take you to their website. And it describes the report as an academic-led report examining the positive influence women's and girls' football, so football being soccer, actually, can have on society, creating impact on and off the pitch. Okay. So according to the study, a staggering 80% of young girls attribute increased confidence to team sports, with almost half feeling more assured than their peers.
Wow, those are some impressive stats, 80% and half feeling more assured. Mm-hmm. Who is behind this report and what else, I guess, did they uncover?
It's actually a really fresh report, fresh off the press, courtesy of Barclays, the Women's Super League title sponsors. And they've meticulously examined the impact of elite women's football, revealing that playing the game goes beyond physical activity. So it's a journey of personal growth and identity formation. And I just want to clarify again, this, because it's a UK report, we're going to be using football. But yeah, this is soccer. Mm-hmm. It's actually really confusing for me because I'm living here in Europe now and it's a bit natural for me to say football, but I know that our audience is mostly in the US and North America. So yeah, soccer. Sorry.
Right. But yeah, this is pretty interesting. Are there any expert insights to back up the findings in this study?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The report was drawn up by Dr. Hania Pialihati and Dr. Ali Bose. And Dr. Pialihati is an independent consultant with expertise in sport and gender. She is an international selling author. Her two most recent books include Gender, Sport, and Society, An Introduction, which was published this year, and Football, Family, Gender, and Identity, The Football Self, and that was published in 2021. And then Dr. Ali Bose from Nottingham Trent University is a contributor to the report as well. She's a senior lecturer at Nottingham Trent University and is also the co-editor of Women's Football in a Global Professional Era. That was 2023. And the professionalization of women's sport back in 2021. And she also is the author of over 40 peer-reviewed articles and book chapters. So, you know, between the two of these really accomplished women, they definitely know what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Bose emphasizes the significance of visible role models in women's football. So it's not just about the game, it's also about instilling life skills. And Dr. Bose points to heightened self-confidence, improved social skills, and a sense of community among girls involved in the sport.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I was just thinking about how soccer, football is such a, I think, probably like the most globally recognized sports. I'm sure so many kids are involved around the world and idolize, you know, people within the game all over the board. But it's more than just a game. It's really a confidence building experience. Are there any other noteworthy findings from this study?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we shift into the professional realm, the report sheds light on career trajectories. So an impressive 94% of women at senior executive levels have a sports background, and 72% believe that sports can fast track a woman's career.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm starting to think maybe I should have gotten into sports. Not that I'm unhappy with my career. But yeah, it seems to actually really give a boost based on the stats, you know, based on the numbers. Totally. And an Irish report echoes these sentiments as well, revealing that 90% of female CEOs, I suppose within Ireland, participated in sports, with 88% recognizing the translatable skills in the business world. And this all adds to the exciting journey of women's football in general, which is booming, especially among girls. So the Barclays Girls Football Schools Partnership has seen an exponential increase from 3,000 schools in 2019 to a staggering 19,992 in 2024. Yeah, so it seems to affect a lot of aspects of life, and there's even been a pretty interesting shift in language use. So the BBC 500 Words report noticed a linguistic shift post the success of the England women's football team. So terms like lioness saw a surge, with over half the mentions now associated with football, not just you know, not just the animal. And additionally, the name Mary gained prominence, likely influenced by England's standout goalkeeper, Mary Earps.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating intersection of sports and language evolution. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is really cool. It seems like, in summary of what you've shared, team sports aren't just shaping athletes. They're sculpting confident leaders and influencers of the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's really important to continue championing the impact of team sports on young girls. And I just imagine, you know, a young girl that is kind of like I was back when I was a kid, just believing that they can't. And that might also be because, you know, stereotypically, especially back when I was growing up, sports weren't as encouraged by, you know, the people around me. I guess this is just my experience, so I can't speak for everyone, but I really never thought that promoting sports was directed towards people like me. It was really more the boys or like the tomboys. Mm-hmm. If we can just make the messaging more inclusive and encourage all kids, no matter their gender, to participate in team sports, then maybe more people will have all of the benefits that this article kind of lays out for us. And they're like lasting benefits that could even affect people's careers. So I think that that was really interesting for me to learn.
Really cool, Ariel. Thank you so much for sharing this one today.
Yeah, of course. But I'm actually really excited to get to your solution.
Yeah, you already knew that this was the solution I was picking today.
There was no question in my mind.
Without further ado, I guess I'll go into my solution and switch on over. So my solution today is called Paws and Pages, the Worcester Library's Feline Solution for Overdue Fees. So in the heart of Worcester, Massachusetts, a unique and touching program is enthralling the neighborhood, demonstrating that sometimes all it takes to repair overdue library items is a touch of feline charm. Worcester Public Library's March Meowness campaign is transforming the way library fines are handled, and the results are nothing short of fantastic. Yay, cat story. So basically, at this library, for book enthusiasts who have lost or damaged items, the customary anxiety of facing library fees has been replaced by a much lighter alternative, cat photos. The library's executive director, Jason Homer, explains the program's inspiration, saying, "We were just trying to figure out the lowest barrier possible. You just show a picture of your cat and your library fees, that's the prize." So super cute. March Meowness, as they call it, is more than just dismissing fees. It's about rekindling a feeling of community and creativity.
Nice.
Patrons are encouraged to bring images, sketches, or even magazine clippings of cats to reactivate their library cards. And the response has been amazing, with a developing cat wall in the library's main building displaying the different and creative cat entries. I need to see a picture of that because I can imagine how fabulous that is. A dedicated cat wall. But yeah, the program soon gained traction, and with approximately 400 people having their library accounts cleared and borrowing privileges restored.
This is such an adorable solution. They said that they're trying to get the lowest barrier possible. So what happens if you don't have a cat to share pictures of?
Luckily, the library values inclusivity and welcomes all creatures into the world of honorary cats. As Mr. Homer puts it humorously, any ungovernable animal. And they're also just kind of allowing that. It doesn't have to be your personal image, but young breeders are kind of joining in on the feline fun. 1 7-year-old without a cat, but with a creative spirit, revived his library card by drawing a cat using crayons. So yeah, this program really has a lot of accessibility to it and comedy to show. A kid-friendly and, you know, all ages-friendly approach to instilling a love of libraries and maybe of cats. Aww. Too.
Yeah, cute.
Yeah, it's super cute. But, you know, as public spaces kind of continue to reopen following the pandemic, libraries like Worcester's are transforming into thriving community hubs.
Yeah, especially with libraries, which were already in decline even before the pandemic.
Right, exactly. Which is precisely why libraries like Worcester's are finding ways to be centers for other community needs as well. Previously used as vaccine stations during the pandemic, these locations are now actively engaged in offering crafts, wellness classes, and fraud prevention seminars. They're really trying to evolve with the times. And so this March Meowness program really kind of exemplifies the trend towards positive and innovative community engagement, which is really needed, especially with libraries in this digital age. I think it's a well-known fact that libraries are a little less popular, but they serve as very important community centers. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it encourages people to come out to the library as well, because as a cat owner myself, I know I'll do anything to share a picture of my cat or take a look at someone else's cat picture. So I can definitely see the appeal, and I would definitely go if this was my community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to see the Great Wall of Cats.
Yeah, I think this is just like such a cute one of those more fun solutions that we share and stuff. Oh no. Hold on. Sorry. I'm like, the cat was speaking up.
I think that's okay. That's fine.
I know. That might be perfect to leave. The cat was meowing in the background. So, yeah, the cat here has something to add to this story.
Yeah. She's like, someone take my picture and post exactly. it on this wall.
Yeah. She was like, I'd love to be, yeah, and featured in this Great Wall. That's too funny to add to those. But yeah, back to the solution. I just think it's one of those really fun, innovative solutions and, you know, something that puts a smile on people's face, and it just serves like multiple purposes. Community mm-hmm. is so important. And, you know, I think as this solution mentioned too, there's kind of like an anxiety and like fear of librarians. I know the traditional stigma is the shh, like librarian. And so this kind of eases that tension of the traditional stereotype, I should say. Mm-hmm. Then encourages you to return your materials. The library gets their materials back and a cat photo and more borrowing power, more people in mm-hmm. these little centers. So yeah, it's a universal solution. Cat love can really,
yeah,
you know, just do so much. And it really just adds a feeling of comedy and warmth. And it's just great all around. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, and like feline forgiveness.
Yeah, feline forgiveness is something we should all practice. So
yeah, well, that's really heartwarming. I'm happy that you shared that one this week, Carissa.
Yeah, I was happy to share it. We also had a lot of other great solutions on the Optimist Daily this week, Ariel.
Yes, they include, is Kundalini Yoga the perfect holistic intervention for older women at risk of Alzheimer's? And I know a Kundalini yoga instructor from my days back when I lived in Costa Rica. Her name was Tammy, and she looked radiant. Oh. And I think she was over 50, but she looked like she was 32 or something. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. If you're curious about Kundalini yoga, definitely check out this article. I have a feeling it might work.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'll have to go look.
And then we have Toronto's Skyline Soars, Return of Bald Eagles Signal Urban Environmental Victory. Shaping Narratives, Formerly Homeless Guides Offer Unique Experiences of Iconic Cities. And what else do we have, Carissa?
We also have Arizona's new chief heat officer to address and manage soaring temperatures. Ramadan 2024, 10 vital tips for staying healthy and preventing weight gain. Discovering a simple solution, shield your drinking water from microplastics via boiling. The surprising compatibility of co-CEOs from different generations. And nurturing emotional resilience and regulation in kids, a mindful parenting guide. Lots of good solutions this week, once again, I must say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you want to start your day off right, make sure to subscribe to our free daily newsletter to get our solutions straight to your inbox.
Yeah, and we also have more on our social channels. You can find us at The Optimist Daily on all of our platforms, including Threads and Pinterest. The only difference is on X. It is known as Ode to Optimism.
And we are a small team of optimists working super hard to bring you positive news. If you want to support our mission of putting optimism into the world, click on the link in the show notes to find out how.
Yeah, and as always, support doesn't have to be financial. Even just recommending our podcast to a friend, leaving a positive review on Apple or Spotify, forwarding a link to a friend, sharing a solution on your socials, anything would be such a great help.
Yes, I guess that's it for this week. We wish those who are celebrating a happy Ramadan. Yeah, I believe the first day was earlier this week on Monday.
Yeah.
But yeah, happy Ramadan. We wish you a really peaceful and happy celebration.
And for all of our other listeners, just a peaceful week ahead, weekend. That was great, Ariel. And I'm looking forward to next week of more solutions on Optimist Daily.
Yes, likewise. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Carissa. You'll catch us same time next week. And yeah, have a great weekend, everyone. Ciao.
Hold on. I'm like, how do you even say Worcester? Worcester. Okay, right. Let me start that over.